Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly or privately. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. I want to look at verse 23 where it says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. But I just like the way that the Passion Translation translates that verse, and it says it this way. Listen, a virgin will be pregnant. She will give birth to a son, and he will be known as Emmanuel, which means in Hebrew, God became one of us. Hallelujah. I just like the way it says, God became one of us. He had to have a legal way to get back into the earth, and he had to become one of us. Hallelujah. God never stopped loving us back even when Adam sinned. And he had to have a way. And he came, and he became one of us.
Amen.
John 1:1 and 14 in the New Living Translation says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. As we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. I like that. Let's take a closer look at all this. God, we've been talking about what here recently? Love, haven't we? I want to tell you, praise God, that's not by accident. That's God. Because we're going to see some things about love we've never seen in 2020. That's not me talking. I mean, that's the word of the Lord coming forth from another prophet. Great things are ahead for 2020. You don't want to miss 2020. Let me tell you. Anybody sticking around for 2020? Praise the Lord. Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. He's looking for a way to get his love back into man. You remember when God created man in Genesis? In Genesis 5, 1 and 2 in the New King James, and it's just to come a summation. I know we could go back to Genesis 1, 26, but just for sake of time, it says this in the New King James. It says, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. He made them in the likeness of God. One translation puts it this way. That Adam was an exact duplication in kind. That means Adam looked just like God. Amen. Now, he was an absolute duplication of kind. He was just like God, fully capable of communicating with God. See, God was looking for someone to fellowship with. That's why he created Adam in the first place. But when Adam sinned, he died spiritually. He lost something. He was now aligned with Satan, who became his father. I believe what Adam lost, that Adam lost the love of God from his heart, and took on fear in his heart from his father Satan. The Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. The Bible says we're created in the image of God. So that something had to be in there. And I believe the love of God had to be in there when he created Adam. He put that in there. And then Adam threw it all away. He gave it away. And fear came in and replaced that love. And Adam knew it. And he was missing something. There was a void in mankind. And the void was the lack of the love of God in man's heart. I believe Adam lost the love of God from his heart and took on fear in his heart from his father Satan. God's love went into operation immediately. Now that sounds strange. When Adam sinned, God's love went into operation immediately. He began to put a plan in place so man could once again enjoy personal fellowship with God. Yes. He wanted that fellowship, and he put a plan in place. And the first thing he did after that happened, that Adam sinned, he kicked Adam out of the garden so he could not eat of the tree of life and become eternally separated from God without any hope. See, there were many trees in the garden. There's only one tree that they weren't supposed to eat of. That was the knowledge of good and evil. But the tree of life was there. And when he disobeyed God and Satan tricked them, and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, sin entered in. And he had to get men out of the garden. Because if he had eaten of the tree of life while he was in sin, he would have been eternally lost forever. Separated from God with no hope at all. So God in love got him out of the garden and put guards around that tree so no man could get there. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not telling you anything new. I know that. God, although the Old Testament, all through the Old Testament, God was giving his people the opportunity to trust, obey, and believe him. You'll remember, and there are many examples of this, and I've just only picked out a couple. You remember the example of the wilderness experience? They left Egypt, and God had delivered them from Pharaoh, and they were on their way to the Promised Land. And they got out into the wilderness, and he sent out 12 spies. And they all came back. 10 of them came back with an evil report. 2 of them came back with a good report. And 2 of them went into the Promised Land. Because they brought forth that evil report. You know what happened? It took them 40 years in there because it took 40 years for a generation to die off. Because they could have what they said. Would to God that we would die here in this wilderness. But God gave them the opportunity to trust him, to obey him, and to believe him. But they refused to do so. Only 2 saw the Promised Land, and that was Caleb and Joshua. And they weren't young men when they saw it.
No.
They were in their 80s. And Joshua, it was Caleb who said, "No, give me that mountain over there. I'm ready to take it." Mm-hmm. 80 years old. And of course, we know what happened with Joshua. He took over for Moses and led his people. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. God was with them. Praise God. Because they believed God, they trusted God, and they stayed with God.
Yes.
God was faithful to them, and they were faithful to God.
Yes.
And all throughout the Old Testament, there are examples. We could talk about Moses. We could talk about David. We could talk about others. Mm-hmm. But it says of Abraham, Abraham believed God and called those things that be not as though they were. Because he did that, it was accounted to him for righteousness. And Abraham, remember what we call him? He is the father of our faith. Because he trusted God, he obeyed God, he trusted God, and he believed God. When there wasn't anything to believe in, the Bible says he believed in hope. He believed in the Word of God. He believed in what God said. What God told him, that was it. Nothing was going to change that. And I'll tell you, when you get to the point that the Word of God is final authority in your life and nothing's going to change it, praise God, you can stand up against anything, praise God. Nothing can come against us. But I will tell you this, that doesn't mean that you won't have some things to come against, because the enemy doesn't quit.
That's right.
Let me just give you this little bit. This is what God's been sharing with me. And we're seeing a little bit of that. 2020 is going to be a great year.
Amen.
But it's not going to be a year, it's not going to be a year without opposition.
Right.
The enemy's not going to quit. And we've hit a nerve around here. We've been doing some things. Hitting at the very heart of what Satan's trying to do. And when we talk about the love of God being shed abroad on our heart, and this church being a church full of love, praise God, and loving one another, praise God, he doesn't like it. Because you know what? Love casts out sin. Perfect love casts out sin. Sin has no way to get in here. And he doesn't like that. He can't get in. We're building, if you please, a hedge around this place, because we're walking in love. And as long as we stay in that love, nothing can impenetrate, can penetrate the love of God that surrounds us. So what do? Praise God. That means we're going to be quick to repent. Praise God. We're going to be quick, praise God, to forgive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're not going to let anything stop us. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I've told you before, and I get excited when I hear that we're able to give to missionaries, because we're going to eventually write out one day. We're going to write out that check for $1 million.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, Pastor, you're just talking. No, I'm not just talking. I know I'm saying words, but praise God, words are the most powerful thing we have in the universe. You understand?
Yeah.
And we're going to have what we say. Now, that means, praise God, that you're going to have to prosper. And I'm going to have to prosper in order to do that. But it also means we're going to grow. We got a vision out there for growth. And Jim has joined into that vision and added some things to that vision. And we're seeing. This building won't hold us. Glory to God. We've got a building coming. Pray God paid for. Glory to God. For the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Abraham is called the father of faith. God manifested in the flesh. That's what Jesus did. God became one of us. John 1:1 and 14 in the New Living Translation says that in the beginning the word already existed. Mm-hmm. I'm reading out of the NLT.
Yeah.
The word was with God, and the word was God. So the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father, Father's one and only Son. He lived among us. Now, as you say, what mean? He's not living among us. Yes, he is. He's here today, praise God. But back when Jesus walked and on this earth, he was living among those that lived there. And that's what we're talking about here. Is he still here today? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Sure he is. You know how I know? Because he lives right in here. Amen. If you're a believer, he lives in your heart. Amen. Glory to God. He lives among us. He was born of a woman, but his father was God. That means he was in the earth legally. Because what did God do? God gave authority down here on earth over to mankind. And if God was going to be able to do anything to redeem mankind after the fall, he had to do it legally. He couldn't just come down here, I'm God, I'm just going to wipe out everything and start all over again. No, he couldn't do that. You know why? Because God's not a liar. He's not an Indian giver. He put forth his word, and his word is going to come to pass. So he had to have a way to get his word back into the earth. He had to have a way to get his love back. And it came through Jesus.
Yes.
God became flesh.
Yes.
But not just any flesh. He had a father, but his father was God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sin in God.
That's right.
And so through Jesus, there's no sin. He's a spotless one. He's the one that could come back and finish the job. Get the job done. Amen?
Amen.
Now, he was legally in the earth, yet they did not recognize him for who he was. And I want you to see, Jesus walked on this earth for almost some 30, 33 years, somewhere along in there. And it says this, Mark chapter 6 and 1 through 5 in New King James says this, then he went out from there and came to his own country, And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is there which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them because of their unbelief. He walked among them and he didn't even recognize them. Oh, he's just Joseph's son, the carpenter. He's just one of them. You know, he became flesh. He became like us. He became one of us. And that's the way they saw him. I'm here to tell you, yeah, he became one of them, but he's much more than just one of them.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Praise God. He is the Savior of the world. Glory to God. He's the one. He came born of Mary. Praise God. And he had a job to do. But you know what? And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll go ahead and say it. I'll say it twice. He was born to die. He was born to die. But I'm glad he was. Because that was the plan of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He was born to die. He came with one purpose. Then he gave his life for us and shed his blood so that God could look at the believer through his blood. See, the blood of Jesus was pure. There was no sin in the blood. Because it was the blood of the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It was the Holy Ghost. Praise God. See, the Bible says life comes through the blood and the blood comes from the Father. And earthly fathers have been tainted. That blood's been tainted. So he couldn't come through an earthly line. But the Father had it all planned out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I get excited about that. That just excites me every time I think about it. Glory to God. Then he gave his life for us and shed his blood so that God could look at the believer through his blood. We receive Jesus in our heart. When we confess him as Lord, he puts his love that Adam had lost back into our heart. Adam had to lose that love. Because when Satan came in, he became fearful. And he lost his fellowship with God. And he had fellowship with his father, the devil. He said, "You're of your father, the devil." He said that. Jesus didn't hold back. He said that to those religious people that of the day. They didn't understand. But again, Romans 5:5 in the Passion Translation, "And this hope is not a disappointment, disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading in our hearts through the Holy Ghost who lives in us." Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost, praise God, the love of God, cascading in our heart. Just like cascading, I mean, just like a waterfall. It's just cascading over the side. That love keeps coming up. And as long as I'm in this bubble, I'm going to remind you, praise God, of what you got out on the inside of you. Because I want to see that thing bubbling up. I want to see that love bubbling up all over the place, praise God. Wherever you are, glory to God. You ought to be out there in the workplace just bubbling up, praise God, the love of God. How else are they going to know out there in the workplace or wherever you go, whoever you come in contact, that God loves them unless they see it in you?
Yeah.
And that love's in you for a reason. So it can bubble up, praise God, and just get people excited about Jesus. Glory to God. Amen?
Yeah.
And then I'm going back and read one of my favorite scriptures, and I've been reading it for several weeks. I'm going to read it again to you. And we're gonna finish a little early this morning, but that's all right. Glory to God. You got the message. Ephesians 3:17-19. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. I just like this so much. And this is what it says. "Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life." I like that statement.
Yeah.
The love of God will become the resting place and the very source and the root of your life. When Jesus came and he was born into this earth, praise God, he came, praise God, to put the love of God back in a man so that the love of God could be the resting place of the source of God. The love of God. Hallelujah. Love takes, it does it all. Praise the Lord. You can't walk in love and violate the word of God. You can't walk in love and not fulfill your calling. Praise God. If you're walking in love, you'll fulfill your calling because God will speak to you. Praise God. The Spirit of God inside of you. Praise God. Doesn't that excite you? It just gets me excited. I like it. In fact, I'm going to read that very part of it again. I like it so much. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will become and be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. There isn't any place the love of God and you can't go. There isn't any place the love of God won't go. Now, you don't have to go just every place because the love of God's with you. You go where the love of God tells you to go. Mm-hmm. Praise God. And when you obey God, praise God, and the love of God's moving in you, you can walk into the most dangerous situation and not worry about it. In fact, I'll tell you what, you need to have this love cascading in your heart all the time. And I remember the testimony of a young girl, and there was some prisoners that had escaped around her home, and there she was there alone, and broke in and was getting ready to kill her and take her car. And she was a believer, and she just stood on her authority. She let the love of God come up down inside. And you know what she ended up doing? She ended up getting everyone born again.
Glory.
Now he still had to pay for what he'd done. But he was paying for it as a different human being, praise God. Somebody said, you mean there's going to be murderers and rapists and all that in heaven? Yeah. If they've given their heart to Jesus, praise God. And they've turned their life around, the old man is dead. Hallelujah. And we got a new life. And that's what Jesus came, and that's what Christmas is all about. Getting that new life in the people. Letting them see that love of God. Amen. Doesn't that excite you? It does me. Glory to God. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love? How enduring and inclusive it is? Endless love beyond measure that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Hallelujah. God is love.
Yes.
And it says right there, we it just keeps coming until we're overflowing in the fullness of God. You can be overflowing in the fullness of God. How do you do that? Just overflow in love. Hallelujah. Praise God. Love will just keep you. I remember hearing Brother Copeland talk about a friend of his, and he was just born again and just knew. But he loved God. And he was just learning how to walk in faith. Making all kinds of mistakes. But you know, he said, the Lord just took care of that because the love of God was just pouring out of him. And love just covers a multitude of sins. You can make a mistake, but the love of God coming out of you will just take care of it. That should encourage us. That should encourage us. Because sometimes we get fearful when we're out in the world and things are all around us. And God said, I want you to go over and talk to that one. And he looks like the ugliest, meanest thing there is on earth. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But God tells you to do it. Praise God. The love of God's with you. Praise God. You can go do it. Glory to God. Love will give you boldness. Hallelujah. And love will protect you. Glory to God. I'm telling you, we can't say enough about love. And the revelation of God's love is going to come forth in 2020 like never before.
Glory to God.
We're going to learn more about it. Praise God. Don't you want to learn more about how to get the fullness of God coming flowing out of you? Praise God. Cascading out of you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Making it the source. Praise God. Of your very being, glory to God. It's down there for a reason, glory to God.
Yes.
All right, praise the Lord. Well, I'm gonna close this out and include. Many will say that Jesus is the reason for the season, but that's not true. I already told you that. I like to say it this way: Jesus is the season. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. He is the season. Now listen, Jesus is the season, and we're talking about Christmas time. But I've got a question to ask you, because this is what the Lord just spoke to my heart. Is there any time, is there any season when Jesus is not in both? Jesus is the season, whether it's Christmas time, whether it's summertime, whether it's fall. He is the season. He's always in season, praise God. Why is he always in season? Because love never fails. Love never loses its power, praise God. So I want you to know you're walking around carrying something that's never going to go out of season. Hallelujah, glory to God. It's never going to get old to be filled with his love, filled with the Spirit of God, and just cascading that love wherever you go. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Jesus is the season.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, praise God. Period. Glory to God. If love has not been born in this earth, we would not be celebrating Christmas.
That's right.
Oh, but God sent his Son, born of a virgin, praise God. Born in a manger, praise God. The most unlikely way. And you know what? See, that doesn't just compute with natural mind. Well, no. If God's going to send his Son, and he is who he is, why didn't he have him born in the most palatial hotel available in the city? Well, it was all filled up.
Right.
That's why. That was the only place left for it. See, and a lot of people just want to tell God how he should do things. Because then they think they'd believe it. They wouldn't. But he comes in the most unlikely ways. He asks you to believe by faith. Because faith, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And how does faith work? By love. So what do we got? We got the love of God down on the inside of us. Praise God. So our faith can work. Glory to God. Just keep that love stirred up. Praise God. And keep that stirred up so that the faith that God gives you, praise the word of God you take it. Praise God. It's all mixed together. Praise God. And it's all stirred up so that your faith can be active. I'll tell you one thing. If your faith's not active, you're not walking in love. And that just came out of the Spirit of God. If your faith not active, you're not walking in love. Hallelujah. We would not know anything about God is love. If love had not been born into the earth. Yes, God made man in his own image. And God is love. And he put that love inside of man. After man sinned, God sent his Son into the earth, that whosoever would believe in him would have everlasting life, because love took up residence again in the heart of man. Yeah. Hallelujah! Praise God. He got to come back to where God placed him in the first place. I believe God put that love again in Adam, praise God. That's why Adam could fellowship with God. And you know, it's really strange. When Adam sinned, you know, and what did they do? They hid themselves from God. And he hid himself, and then when God showed up in the cool, they recognized God's voice because God was calling out to them. Of course they did. They'd heard it before. But this time was different. They were afraid. And he hid themselves. Well, God knew immediately what had happened. God already knew. You can't hide anything from God.
Amen.
You might as well forget trying. Praise God. And just give it all to him in the first place.
Right.
But that's all right. God had a plan. And he wanted love. God sent his Son on the earth that whosoever would believe in him would have everlasting life, because love took up residence again in the heart of man. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to close with my favorite statement. Let his love become the source and root of your life.
Amen.
Yes.
Don't worry. You're going to hear that over and over and over and over and over again. Let love be the source and root of your life. Not your love, the love of God.